You know, I admit I don't watch the TV news much anymore. I might catch the Grateful News once in a while, but the national news, the 24-hour news stations, I don't watch those anymore because they've kind of forgotten why they exist. To give us news, to tell us what's going on, to help us understand what's going on in the world. Instead, it feels like they bring up these issues and they have countervailing views. So they'll have two people or three people that have different perspectives on it, and that's good. But they don't set it up so that it's a reasonable discussion so you can understand the different aspects of this issue. No. They set it up so they're arguing with each other so fast you can't really understand what they're saying and you don't know what's going on. You don't know who's saying what or who's doing where. You don't know anything. Because it's all more about the fight and the argument and the striving and struggling than it is actually knowing issues. It's all personality-based. It's not actually the issue. So I don't really watch them anymore because you get more frustrated than you do actually learning what's going on. And of course, each channel has their perspective that they like to put on things, and they have their issues that they focus on. And, oh, there's all this other stuff going on in the world, but this is what we're going to focus on, this minor thing. You know, and what it really shows to us because of these news channels is that we have a lot of division in our country right now. It might even seem like there's more division now than there has really been in recent years anyways, in recent decades, where our country is split so many ways on so many lines, racial and ethnic and political and religious and this issue and that issue. And it really, we see these divisions splitting apart our country. Our politicians aren't helping matters either. You know, it was once said that politics was the art of the compromise. Getting as much as you can while the other guy gets as much as he can. But you compromise. You find a middle ground somewhere. No one's going to be happy, but at least you get some of what you wanted. It doesn't seem like that anymore. It doesn't seem like our politicians are willing to compromise anymore. Now they're as divided as the rest of our nation is. Where if a bill comes forward in Congress, if our guy promoted it, oh, it's the bill that we need to save our nation. It's going to do everything we need. It's going to solve XYZ problems, and everything is going to be great. Now, if the other guy brought the same exact bill to Congress, guess what happens? Oh, that's terrible. That's awful. That's going to destroy our nation. There's no middle ground anymore in politics, it seems like. They're more about scoring points for their side and demonizing the other side. And both sides do it. Doesn't matter which way you split the both sides. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, they all do it. There's no middle ground. Sadly, that mindset has seeped even to our church. We have such divisions in our church today about various issues and various ways of being church, some might say. You know, we might have some people who say the most important issue in the church is serving the poor. And if you're not serving the poor, you're not really living as Christ would have you live. Others will say, oh no, it's pro-life. You must be doing pro-life work. You must be working to end abortion, or you're not really following Jesus. You must focus on the liturgy, or you're not really following Jesus, and on and on and on, and we can go on and on. Where there's no middle ground, it's all dividing. Again, liberal, conservative, doesn't matter which side you're on, that division is there. And it should worry us that these divisions are becoming so strong. Because as Jesus said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. The more things get divided, the more they break apart and eventually fall apart completely. Now, we shouldn't be surprised that there is division in our world. We really shouldn't. It's always existed as a part of humanity. There has always been division in the world. From the moment of Adam and Eve committing that first sin, which we saw in the first reading, from the moment they committed the sin. Notice that immediately after they committed the sin, they start blaming each other. Oh, it's the woman. It's her fault. She gave me the apple. Oh, it's the snake. It's his fault. He gave me the apple. There's division right away. They're splitting. This couple, which should be unified, is split. Division is a result of sin. And I would argue that much of the division we see both in our world and in the church is because of sin. Either it's because of wanting to recognize a sin as good, or the result that comes from sin, that we commit a sin and the result is the division. Either way, we need to avoid division. We need to be seeking ways to be unified. We need to overcome this division and seek to be unified through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when it is working in our lives, leads us together, brings us closer, unifies us in what is important. And of course, what is important is, as St. Paul says, we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. We need to recognize that everything here on earth will go away one day. Everything will. Everything will die. Everything will deteriorate. Everything eventually ends here on earth. But the eternal life, the unseen, that which we cannot see, is eternal. It lasts forever. It does not end. There is no end to God. There is no end to the heavenly kingdom. That is where our focus needs to be. And that is where our unity comes from. Is when we all are focused on following our Lord to the eternal. When we are focused on not the things of the world, the ideas of the world, but the things of heaven and the ideas of heaven. That leads us together in that desire for eternal life. Now, this doesn't mean that we won't disagree. There's always disagreements. But we can disagree without being divisive. You know, when's the last time you sat down with someone over a drink, a cup of coffee, a beer, whatever, and discussed with someone about something you disagree with? Had a civil discussion about a disagreement. We don't do that, do we? That person thinks that, well, I'm not going to talk to him about that. You know, the old, you don't talk politics and religion in polite company. That kind of puts me in a bad position because that's kind of my job. But we don't sit down and have polite discussions. Unfortunately, I think a lot of times when we do sit down with people to discuss about disagreements, instead of seeking unity, instead of seeking compromise, instead of learning off each other, we look like the news media, where we start arguing and yelling. I've seen too many people do that. Two people not willing to discuss an issue that they hold dear. And instead, in the church, we need to be seeking that unity where we all have a role to play. If someone feels that serving the poor is the most important task, then it's their call to go and serve the poor. If someone feels that pro-life issues are the most important task, it is their call to go and serve the pro-life issues, and so on and so on. While still being able to come together here at the Mass in unity for the worship of God. Despite our backgrounds, different backgrounds, despite our different ideas, our different ideals, we can still come here as a unified church for the worship of God, seeking that eternal life, seeking that unseen, recognizing that the division that plagues our world is toxic to our seeking eternal life. So may we truly seek that unity with God and neighbor, seek that unity that we may find the eternal and look towards the eternal together.